fine with me if you just kept reading in the book of Proverbs. That was wonderful tonight. Thank the Lord for this word of God, the inspired word that God has given to us. And the book of Proverbs is one of the places I love to go that I can just glean and feed from when the Lord's in the matter. And tonight was a special time in Proverbs 3. I do thank the Lord for that. As I've already mentioned, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for having a place like this to come when we stand in need of instruction from God's Word and encouragement and help. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to His people as a pillar and ground of the truth. And we have so much to be thankful for that the Lord has provided. And every good thing came from Him, every blessing we have, all that's good and right in our lives. And because of that, we should have every reason tonight to continue to look to Him for whatever's between us and death, and then even in death. We look to the Lord to carry us out of this world to be with Him in glory, which is absolutely assured for each of God's little children. All that are in Christ Jesus are secure in the finished work of Christ, which was done for us at Calvary. Our sin debt was paid, our sins were removed from us, our righteousness has been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we can even approach the throne of grace tonight, through the grace and the mercy of God that has been shown to us. And tonight I'd like to read in your hearing the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, the writings of the Apostle Paul, a very familiar passage to each of you. And it's been on my mind and continues to be tonight. And even as he read Proverbs 3, I thought how this account just lines up with what was written in the Old Testament. And even part of it is quoted from Proverbs 3. So we are just ask an interest in your prayers as we read the passage together tonight, that the Lord would just bless us to look at it and find the instruction that's there for us as God's little children that had been left on record by the Holy Spirit and given to us in the Word of God. And that the Lord would just bless us that we might have an understanding and not only a desire for the truth, but that which feeds us and that which causes us to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth as we look at His Word together. Here we find the writings of the Apostle Paul and to the brethren at Rome, and he writes to both Jews and Gentiles here. And he says in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That last verse tells us to be not overcome of evil, which means God's little children can be overcome with evil. If that was not possible for God's children, he would not have to give us that instruction. He doesn't only tell us what not to do, he tells us how to do that. He says, overcome evil with good. That means use that which God has given you as you face the evil and the troubles and the temptations of this world. Put into application the things that have been read tonight in our hearing from Proverbs 3 and what's given unto us in the New Testament, and to live our lives in such a way that as we face the evil which we're going to face as sure as we're in this world, we'll be more than conquerors, not in ourselves, but in Him that loves us. We are more than conquerors in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Notice as he comes to God's little children, he comes gently, as a mother would come to a little child. He's not striving. He's teaching us and showing us by example how we're to teach and to feed and to minister to God's little children. We lead them. We speak to them lovingly. We guide them with a heart of love. We preach the word, but we preach with all longsuffering and doctrine. We're to be faithful to the word, but we let the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, even teaching those who oppose themselves. So tonight, as the Apostle Paul came to the brethren in Rome, I am to come to you tonight gently. I'm to speak to you, but I am to speak to you with all long suffering and doctrine. In other words, I'm to preach the word, but I want to preach it in a way that God's little children will be able to understand it. Now, of course, that comes from the Lord. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. But I am concerned that I come in such a way that I am not offensive in my manner. Now, if the word offends, it must offend. But I am to preach and teach these things in gentleness unto God's children. We're to do that in love. That's what's wonderful when the Lord, in the matter, we get taught. Even instruction that can be very hard and difficult sometimes, when it comes in love, it's a word fitly spoken that's as apples of gold and pictures of silver. That's the wonderful truth of God's word, declared as the Lord gives us liberty to do that. And tonight, I'm dependent upon Him, and every minister of the gospel is dependent upon Him. Jim was dependent upon Him. Anyone who stands before God's children can't stand in their own power and their own ability. We have to stand in the grace that's been given to us by Almighty God. That's not only true of the minister that stands before you to preach. It's true of every brother and sister in the church. As you go about doing that which God has instructed you to do, you need the Spirit of Almighty God to guide you and direct you and lead you and help you have the courage and the faithfulness and the ability to walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So who's he talking to? He's talking to God's children. The Bible is not given to us so that we can make children of God. But the Bible's given to us to instruct God's little children that He has made, that He has called out, that He has given life to, to instruct them how to live that life in a way to honor and praise and glorify the Lord. And he says, here I beseech you. It means I call upon, I appeal to you, I beg, I urge. I am speaking to you in a way of encouragement, and I come gently tonight to instruct you in the Word of God as brethren. Now, we don't come as lords over God's children. We come as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, how did we get to be brethren? He says that by the mercies of God. It's the mercies of God that has allowed us to be called brethren. Oh, how wonderful it is, how blessed we are, that we behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. What a blessing that God saw fit out of all the fallen race of mankind to call and to choose us as his children. God made choice of you. You say, well, how do I know that's the case with me? Well, if you love the Lord tonight, it's because he first loved you. If you have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God and the things of God, if it has appeal in your heart, it's because he first loved you. And he loved you even before the foundation of the world. He says, and whom he did foreknow. His foreknowing of his children was to love them. He foreknew them and he loved them. And those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means he made choice of them and he predetermined their destiny that one day they would be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And all those that he foreknew and he predestinated, he called. That means he spoke to us life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he brought us out of a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. And if he had left us where we were, we would remain in the dead state we were in by nature, and we would have left this world. The wages of sin is what we would have earned, and that is death. We would have been eternally separated from God, and there would be no hope of us ever being with him in heaven in immortal glory. And all we could expect is the judgment and the wrath of God to be poured out upon us. But God foreknew or foreloved his people, and he predestinated them, his people that he loved, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he worked a work of grace in our hearts. Why did he do all of this? It wasn't because we earned it or merited it, but it was in spite of what we had earned and merited, and he showed us great favor. He showed us mercy. It's mercy that has allowed us to be his children. Notice in verse 36, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and the therefore, he's laid out the doctrines of grace in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. He's laid it out very clearly that salvation begins with the Lord and it ends with the Lord, that it's he who began the work and he who began a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that everyone that he foreknew, that he predestinated, that he calls, he justified when he died for them on the cross, and every one of them without the loss of one will be glorified and with him in heaven and immortal glory, and he will lose none. When the Son gets home to be, and he is home with the Father seated on the right hand, but when he comes and gathers his kingdom and gathers his people out of this world, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, we'll be with him in heaven, and there will not be one of his little children that were given to him missing. There'll be no part of them missing. He will not lose their body. He will not lose their soul. He will not lose their spirit. He purchased them. Jesus paid it all, and he will have all that he paid for. And all of that is not based on what we've done for the Lord in any way. It's based on what the Lord did for you, irregardless of anything that you have done, irregardless of any work. And if he had not worked a work of grace in us, none of us would have loved the things of God or could be concerned about the things of God, had any love for him or love for his people or any appreciation for what we've heard tonight, and it meant so much to us. Proverbs 3 would sound like gobbledygook, and it would be of no benefit to you tonight. But as he read that verse, those verses spoke to me and meant something to me in my heart. Now, what does that mean?
That means along the way, God has shown me great mercy. Did it mean anything to you tonight? I say if it did, then God has shown you great mercy. For the brother to be able to stand before us and speak it, shows me that God has shown great mercy. And for me to hear it and understand it and want to hear more of it means that God has shown me great mercy. God has been so good to each and every one of us tonight in all that he has done. I think of what James tells us in the book of James. We read the writing there where it says in verse 17 of chapter 1. Here we see the work of God's mercy and the work of God's love. He says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That means you look over your life and you can just count everything that's good and everything that's right in your life. And I want you to know tonight, as you already know, but I'm going to remind you again, if it wasn't for the mercy and the grace of God, if his mercy didn't endure forever, if it hadn't been for the mercy and the love that he showed for you, you wouldn't have one thing to count. Because there would be no good and there would be no perfect gifts. But you and I tonight, if we start taking account of how good the Lord's been to us, we start looking at our families and our homes and our lives. We start looking at the blessings we've had in a timely way in this world and how God has forgiven us and been with us. We see we are overwhelmed by the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And then when we start reckoning all the good things we've had spiritually, how good the Lord has been to us, how wonderful, how precious he has been in a spiritual way and given us a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Listen, if God hadn't first awakened us, we'd never have any hunger towards him. And I could stand up here tonight and threaten you as he didn't do in the scripture and try to scare you as he didn't do and didn't teach us to do. He tells us as God's little children, we're not to scare God's children into action, but we're to comfort them and we're to lead them and we're to guide them from the word of God. And we're always pointing to the mercy of God as our strength and as our help and our ability to do what God has given us to do. You know, as he read those things tonight, I thought, how in the world can I do that? How can I turn the other cheek? How can I forgive my enemies? And how can I pray for them who despitefully use me? How can I do those things? And the answer to that is, old Gary Utes cannot do it. And you can't do it. And I can't do it. But in the Lord, we've been enabled by his mercy and by his grace to do that which we could not do otherwise. And brethren, that's where we're going to have to go tonight for our strength. I need him tonight in order to be able to preach the gospel. I need the mercy of God in order to be able to do that. I need him to enable me and give me the ability. And in order for you to hear the gospel and understand the gospel, you need God's mercy to supply to you that strength. And then more importantly, not only more important than my preaching it and you hearing it, for you and I to put it on and wear it and go out into this world and have it on our feet and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and live our lives so that we shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ by our actions, by our words, by our behaviors. It would be impossible for you and I to do that outside of the mercy and the grace of God. What Romans 12 is telling us is that we have his mercy. What the Old Testament is telling us is that his mercy endureth forever. That as high as the heavens are above the earth, his mercy, that's how great his mercy is to them that fear him. And who is it that fears him? You know, the man of the world doesn't fear the Lord. There's no fear of God before his eyes. He's just foolish enough not to fear the Lord. And we said that about him, but that would be true of us tonight. If the Lord hadn't given you the fear of God in your heart and in your soul, you'd have no fear of him either. Tonight, I believe you do fear the Lord. I don't mean be afraid of him. I mean you reverence him. You say, as he taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, separate from all other names. Dear Lord, as we look to him, we look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't serve a weak God or a little God. We serve a mighty God, a powerful God. And he's our strength and he's our help. He's the one that we have. And if you have this in your heart, dear ones, It's not you that awakens yourself to get to know God. It's God who's reached down and awakened you and allowed you to see it. And if you can see it, that means you belong to Him. And the good news is there's a home waiting for you, an inheritance that awaits, preserved in heaven for you. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it faded not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. And that's for everyone that He loved in covenant even before the foundation of the world. He says, for of Him, verse 36 of chapter 11, let's get verse 34. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been His counselor? In other words, who tells God what to do? Absolutely no one. God is on His throne. And He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And everything that He's ever done has been good and right. And we're trusting in Him tonight. He's not waiting on us to do something in order to get ourselves secure. He has made us secure in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I should be resting in that. And not only just resting in the sense of laying down and going to sleep. We ought to be resting in His finished work, which causes us to get up and be about our Father's business as we live here in this world and walk in a way to bring glory and honor and praise to His name. And as we heard tonight, there is great reward and benefit in doing that as we work out what He's worked in. We don't get it for doing it. We get it in doing it. We don't get it because we've met certain requirements. We get it in doing those things that the Lord has told you to do. When you do what the Lord tells you to do, there are blessings in doing it. There are blessings and favor that's found as you walk in obedience to the Word of God. And what He's laid down in His Word is for your health and for your benefit, and more important than anything else, it's to the glory and the honor and the praise of God. And that's why we were made in the first place, that we might give glory and honor and praise unto Him. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that is God's children. How do you do it? By the mercies of God. In other words, I need His mercy. Isn't it good to trust in a God when you need mercy who has all mercy? He has all mercy. Over in Psalm 103, I kind of misquoted that verse, so let's just read it together. He said in verse 11 of Psalm 103, He says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, just think about that for a minute. Psalm 103 and verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth. Just think how far that is. Heaven and earth. How far? Think of the distance. So great is His mercy. You want to know how much mercy He's got? As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy. And His mercy is not just flopping out there somewhere. It's toward someone. It's toward them. Who's the them that is toward? It's toward those that fear Him. And who does those that fear Him describe? It doesn't describe the unregenerate. It doesn't describe the man of this world. It describes God's little children that have been born of the Spirit of God, who are the brethren, who are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who we are tonight. And He's provided to the brethren, to the children of God, His church and the gifts of the church, to help us along the way to learn and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, to help one another along in this world, to show those gifts and those blessings that He's given to us to one another and to others of God's children, so that we might be a benefit to God's little children in this world. And all of that comes from the Lord to us, so all the glory belongs not to us, but to the Lord. So if we have any good thing, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Let me get back over to that real quick. He says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we serve a God tonight that is not only all-powerful and almighty. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in one place in the Old Testament it says, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If the Lord's mercies should ever fail, we would be consumed. If it were not for the Lord's mercies, we would be consumed. Because His what? His compassions fail not. You see, his mercies don't fail, and his compassions don't fail, and he doesn't run out of them. How much mercy does he have? He says they are new, what? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We serve a God who is full of mercy, full of love, full of compassion, and he shows that to us each and every day. So when it comes time to do what God has told us to do, do we have the strength to do it? Do we have the ability to do it? The Bible says that absolutely we do by his mercies. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That means my body belongs to the Lord. My soul belongs to the Lord. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? How is it that the Holy Ghost is in our hearts? Is it because we reached out and grabbed him? No, he worked that in our hearts. We were born of the Spirit of God, and in that work of regeneration, the Holy Spirit came up and He's taken his abode in our hearts. And he says, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, which means we don't belong to ourselves. Now, the world would say, I don't like that. The fact that I'm my own person, I can do my own thing, I can live any way I want to, act any way I want to, talk any way I want to. And listen, when we think like that, we've got our thinking all mixed up, and we've become conformed to the world, thinking like the world, and we need to be transformed. Let's remember what he says. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because we belong to him, he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That means my entire life belongs to him. And oh, you want to find a happy little brother or sister? Find one that has done as much as they can by the grace of God to take my life, as the hymn writer said, take my life and let it be. Take my hands and let them move. Take my will and make it thine. Take my feet. Take my tongue. Take my eyes, dear Lord. In other words, may I live in a way to honor and glorify thee, because I owe everything to the Lord. Every good thing in my life, every blessing we have has come to us by and through the grace of God. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means what God has given us, we are to return and praise and honor and glory to him, to live our lives in a way to serve him as we live here in this world. And he says, to do that, he says, holy, acceptable unto God. Now somebody might read that and think, does that mean we have to be without sin? No, we'll never get to the place where we're without sin. Even when we would do good, we'll find evil present with us. And if a man says he has no sin, he what? He deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. The way we find ourselves to be holy is when we confess our sins. He says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this isn't how we get right before God, eternally speaking, but it's how in our court of a conscience we have peace with God while we're living here in this world. We're resting in what Jesus has done for us, and we come pleading and confessing our sins to him, and we feel the application of his forgiveness right now in our lives, and we feel clean and holy, and then we're fit for the master's use. Listen, if we come tonight thinking I can get good enough to serve God, we're not fit for the master's use. But if we come saying I'm trusting in Jesus and what he's done for me, and we confess our sins, he's what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can approach him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He's our strength. He's our all in all. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that's through the blood of Jesus, acceptable unto God, that's through the blood of Jesus. He's the one who's made us accepted in the beloved.
And he says, and we do that which is our reasonable service. Now, this is often pointing to God's children coming to the church house. And that's very important, that we do present our bodies in coming to the house of God to worship Him. But that's not the only place we present our bodies. He's not only the God of Sunday. He's the God of Monday and Tuesday and every other day of the week. Every single day of our lives, we should live our lives in a way to bring honor and praise and glory to the Lord. And you say, well, how could I possibly do that? The answer is through and by the mercies of Almighty God. Yes, we will fall short in and of ourselves each and every time, because the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But the Bible says if we walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible tells us if we put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And the Bible says we should enthusiastically and with all of our heart try to live and walk in a way each and every day to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. And we can't do that by ourselves, but we can do it by the mercies and the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then he also tells us in the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples, he said, without me, he can do nothing. So there's a sense in which we can't do anything. But there's another sense in the Lord that we're able to do whatsoever he's taught us to do in his word. He said in verse 2, and we'll close with that, he said, and be not conformed to this world. That means if we just get up and start living our lives any old way and fall into the broad way, you don't have to work to get into the broad way. All you have to do is get up, in a sense, and breathe air to be in the broad way. But you have to strive to enter in at the straight gate and in that straight and narrow way. He tells us in the scripture that we're to not walk in the broad way, which leads to destruction, but strive to enter in at the straight gate, to walk in that straight and narrow way. And he says, there are few there be that find it. Brethren, may the Lord bless us by the mercies of God to press in to that straight and narrow way, that we might walk in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord and not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. One thing I'll see and you will see in the Word of God is that again and again, as we read what the Bible tells us to do, we're made to see how different that is the way man thinks. God's way is not like man's way. God's ways and thoughts are so much higher than man's ways and thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, God's ways and thoughts are above man's ways and thoughts. But I'll tell you what, when we walk in God's way and live our lives in God's way, there's great blessings and benefit found in living our lives to honor Him. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And where do you get your mind renewed? In the Word of God. By hearing the preaching of the gospel. By feeding on the Word of God and studying, by praying to God, guide me, Lord, direct me, asking Him for wisdom. If you ask Him for wisdom, the Bible says if you ask Him for a good thing, He will give you those good things that you ask for, and He will not withhold any good thing from us. He will give it in His time and in His way, in the right way, and we're waiting on Him. Isn't it good to know we have a God who's faithful? As great is His faithfulness. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove. That means you'll put it in a reality in your life. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? May we take what He's taught us in His Word and apply it to our lives and live it. Not just being hearers of the Word, but doers. Where we take up our cross and follow Him as He would lead us and guide us. Now, verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every preacher that ever stands before us can only preach with the gift that God has given him to preach. Now there are some things that he ought to be doing to use that gift and exercise that gift and not forsake that gift. He should study
He should look to the Word of God, and he should pray to God each time he comes before God's people for the liberty that he needs to preach the gospel. But any time a man's blessed to preach, and you're blessed to hear, that didn't come from man, didn't come from us, it comes from Almighty God. And any good thing, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And he's given us these gifts in the church, a diversity of gifts. Each one of you have a gift that God has given to you in particular. And you're to use that gift to the service and praise of Almighty God. And that is found, not that God needs anything from us, but his children. He's called us to serve one another, to serve his little children, to give a little cup of cold water to one of his little children, to feed his lambs and to feed his sheep, to be an encouragement to them. And there's no more encouragement that you can be than to take even like the book of Proverbs and just read it to the brethren. And it'll be a benefit and a blessing as the Lord applies it to our heart. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless each and every one of you.